Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m., and we do thank you for tuning in. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, we are interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means you have an opportunity of calling in and participating. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Once you call in, you can participate. We also like to let you know that everything has been archived. You can go into Blog Talk Radio, then type in We Can Begin Again, and you can pull up any one of the archives and hear this message or any other message again. Amen. This evening, we are in Milford, New Jersey, with Pastor Reginald C.A. Miles, and his topic is Impulsive Purchase. Amen. So we're excited to hear what the Lord has placed on his heart. We're going to be muting out, and if you have a question, you can hit number one. Please hit number one, and then I will open up the mics for you. This is one of the unusual evenings, so if you would just hit the number one when you have a comment, and then we will open up the mics for you. Amen. Right now we're going to move over into New Jersey, and I'm going to turn the mic over to Pastor Miles. Pastor Miles, are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. I'm going to move on out of the way and let you take over. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. To all in the land and country, can you hear me? Hello. To all in the land and country, God bless you. We greet you all in the name of Jesus, you know, the name that's above every name. Without that name, I know I would not be able to do anything. But it's that name that cast out demons and heal a broken land and a broken body. So I greet you all in that, wherever you're at in the land and country. I also want to let you know that if you should happen to hear some noise in the background, that's probably my air conditioner blowing. It is real hot here in New Jersey right about now. Last I checked, it was about 93 degrees. And one thing I do know for myself, that I have to be faithful on this side of the Jordan River, because I can't stand the heat here. So to be an everlasting destruction and forever torment, I know I won't be able to stand that. So that in itself is motivation for me to get in God's word, study God's word right there, because I'm not faithful with this little heat here. And I just hope and pray that wherever you are in the land and country, you're comfortable right now. I want to invite your attention this day after prayer. I want you to get your Bibles, if you have them handy, and turn to Genesis chapter 25. While you're doing that, I'm just going to lead us in a word of prayer. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for life, health, and strength. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord, as we come through today, we're asking you to speak to us and speak through us through your word. Let us see ourselves in your word and make the necessary changes, necessary corrections to serve you the more. Because, Lord, we call ourselves Christians, and when we walk out, people are watching us if we know it or not. So, Lord, let us govern ourselves accordingly. Let us trust and believe that you are the only true and living God. And if your word says it's wrong, then it's wrong, and our opinion does not matter. We ask all this in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 25, and we're going to start at verse 29. And I want you to keep in mind the topic, impulsive purchase. Impulsive purchase. I'm reading from the King James text, and as I like to do, I don't like to read through scripture, excuse me, just to prove that one can read. But I like to read through scripture in such a pattern in which the words of God actually ministers to our soul and our spirit. I'm reading from the King James text. And if you are reading from the King James text, such as myself, there you will find these words. And Jacob sowed pottage. And Esau came from the field and was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him and told and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentil. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. And Esau despised his birthright. Remember the topic, impulsive purchase. Impulsive purchase. I want to share something with you. Back in 1985, it was the summer, no, 84. It was the summer of 1984. It was July. Second or third week in July, and I was in college taking college classes, and I took a business class. And the professor said, why is the milk, bread, butter all the way in the back of the supermarket? And no one in the class had an answer. So he presented the same question again. And he said, the reason why they're in the back of the supermarket is by design. It's by design to make money. I want you to think about this. How many times have you went into a supermarket just to pick up a few things? You went in there to pick up maybe 5-6 items, totaling maybe $17. But when you come out, you come out with a grocery cart full of groceries that total $132 and change. Most of that was an impulsive purchase. You had no, I'm going to say, no business getting those things at that time. Why? Because you only went in for those 5 or 6 things. It wasn't your intent to do it. But the store is designed in such a way that you have to go through the store and you look upon certain things. Oh, I can use this, or I can get that. I can use this for later. I can get that for later. Or this is on sale. And now that which is on sale, you would save even more if you didn't even purchase it because you didn't need it. Let's take that and let's put this to the story that we just read. Now, one thing I want you to remember, you are not responsible for what other people do. You are responsible for what you do. Think about the time when you're at checkout at the supermarket. You have your soda, your bottles of water, your candy bars. You have what I like to call your ratchet magazines, them gossip magazines. And they'll put a title up there to catch your eye just so you buy it, an impulse purchase. Many of us get in so much trouble and lose out on things long term because of an impulse purchase. I have said this before, and I'll say it again. Many people will do that. They'll be grabbing what is quick and missing out on what's better. You're the impulse person. You grab what's quick, and you're going to lose out on what's better, as we're going to see what happened with Esau. And most of the time, I'm not going to say all of the time, but most of the time, when you have an impulse purchase, you will have short-term pleasure, but then you wind up having long-term pain. Let's look at the text. Jacob, for the most part, as I like to call him, he's a cook. He could do things around the tent. As we would like to say, he was either a cook or he's very good at quartermaster, from the military's concern. He was very skillful in that. Meantime, his brother was actually, I like to call, a skill hunter. He was a doer, a maker, worker, go get him. Now he comes back from the field, and it's really not clear if he was hunting or whatever he was doing, but he came back, and we can honestly say that he was hungry. Now, there are times when we can over-exaggerate things. We can make things appear to be a whole lot worse than what they really and truly are. Scripture teaches us that he came back from the field in verse 29, and he said that he was hungry. How many times have we been somewhere? We've been hungry, and we're actually waiting in line, be it at a fast food restaurant, and all we want to do is eat. We want to order our food, we'll sit down, we'll have our meal. But it seems like that person in front of us doesn't have a ghost of an idea what they want to order. And the line has already been long. You already ain't up for no foolishness. And this person sits there or stands there. Well, I want a number one. No. Can I have a number three? But number three, that comes with onion rings. I don't want onion rings. And it's just getting, now, meantime, you're hungry. It is not good for you to say, you know what, I'm about to die right now. We got to hurry up and get this in. And you say, you know what, can you please step aside and let me order, because I'm about to die right now. You're not really about to die. You're over-exaggerating because you want to eat that bad. And that's what's happening in this text. So he went to his brother and he said, you know what, feed me. I'm hungry. I'm about to faint. I'm weak. I believe we all can relate to that. But then his brother took advantage of a weak point. And many people will do that. Go back to the supermarket. They strategically place things that way to catch your eye, to get you to buy that impulse buy, trying to take care of your weakness at whatever time it may be. They might not get you, but they're going to get somebody. And you are not responsible for what they do, but you are responsible of how you respond to it. Like I said some time ago, maybe the last time I was on or the time before that, Brother Moderator had to minister to me one time on my job, and I called him on my break. And he had to bring back to my remembrance. Remember, you're not responsible for what they say to you. You're responsible for how you react to it. And sometimes, as I said before, you got to taste your own pot. So when he said to me, sell me your birthright, I truly and believe Esau knew exactly what it was. But he put that hunger over the blessing that he had over his life. He catered more to flesh at the moment. How many times have you catered to your flesh at the moment? And then once it was all said and done, you realize you made a grave mistake. You grabbed what was quick, but now you realize you lost what was better. Scripture does teach us. Well, let me say this. What would you rather do? Would you rather sacrifice something, or would you rather obey? All throughout church, when I was growing up as a young boy, I would always hear the preachers, the pastors, and even some of the deacons, you got to sacrifice, you got to sacrifice, you got to sacrifice, you got to sacrifice. I just kept hearing that. But when it came to sacrificing, they wouldn't do it themselves. So as a young man, I was confused. You got to sacrifice, you got to sacrifice, got to sacrifice. But then my great uncle, the late Reverend Clarence Merritt, told me to get my Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15, and I think it's verse 22. Pretty sure that's where it's at. See, obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, why is it better? Because it costs more. It costs you a lot more. See, you can turn around and say to yourself, you know what? I can do this now and I can make that up later. Well, you're really putting yourself more behind the eight ball because you're coming right now with an impulse purchase. See, when you obey, it costs more to the fact that you're putting that flesh under subjection at that moment. Because you know on the other side of your obedience is going to come your blessing. Well, if you didn't know it, you just heard it now. Yes, it's going to cost you more. But you'll be able to get over the hump. And the one thing about Esau in this situation, he cared more about the current moment than about all of that which he would have received a lot later. Let's think about it, people. What are you in right now that you really want to do? You thought about sacrificing just to do that now and do what needs to be done later. I know some people, they'll say, well, I'm not going to save the money or hold the money this week for my rent or my mortgage. I'll double up next pay period. Now, next pay period comes, and some way or another, the payroll department messed your check up and you were short 23 hours on your check. Had you obeyed, now those 23 hours is enough, or would have the remaining hours would have been enough if you would have held what you were supposed to hold on the first check to pay your rent and your mortgage. But you decided for an impulse purchase. Now where does that leave you? Jacob said to Esau, okay, you want this? You can have this, but sell me your birthright. And he told him, according to scripture, as we read, okay, you can have it. At that time, that was equivalent to, I don't know too many people that do this type of business today, but in my father's day back in the 70s, they did this. That verbal agreement was equivalent to another man going to a man, looking him in the eye and shaking his hand. That's the deal with the handshake. Today we have to draw up contracts and write it down and get it notarized. But back then in my father's day, a man gave his word, a man shook on it, looked him in the eye, that was the deal, that was it. Well, right here, this is equivalent to a handshake. Sell it to me. You got it. Here's your bowl. Eat. Now I want to open up the mic before I go any further on this. Would anyone like to add anything at this time? Comments, questions, concerns? Matter of fact, Brother Motto, if you can open up all the mics so then we'll have to press one.
That would be greatly appreciated. I think that was a very good point that, you know, obedience and being a man of our word, if we say we're going to do something, do it. And that's God's way. That's God's way. That's, you know, in the plan, God gives us instructions. We have to follow through, do what is asked of us, know what our expectations are from the written words. That's part of a covenant, which is a contract.
Amen. Is there another?
So we have to constantly examine ourselves and our behavior and our actions and make sure we follow through.
Amen. Is there anyone else?
All the mics open.
Now. Now let's look at this. There, people say, what's in the name? What's in the name? There's a lot in the name. Did you know that Jacob, crafty, deceitful, undermines. A lot I've heard many times before, I mean, it's being preached, sibling rivalry, two brothers fighting, things of that nature. But I wanted to take it and want you to look at it from when someone comes to you, what you do. See, because ultimately, yes, they're responsible for what they do, but you are also responsible for how you act to what's being done to you or what has been done to you. When you're in that situation, what should you do? There's four things that I would like to put to you that I believe that you should do. Number one, when something comes to you like that, look it over. Look it over. Number two, investigate it as much as you can at that moment. Then at that time, evaluate it on two realms. Evaluate it from what you know of the word being already in your heart and the experiences that you have already had in your life. And then once you do that, then think. Now, my children know this. My children know this, and I had said this to my mother. Come to me at the last minute with something. Come to me at the last minute with something, and it's something that has not already been agreed upon. Like I have one agreement with a person. I says, whenever you need me, all you got to do is pick up the phone. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be your go-to person. That is about the only person, excuse me, that can pick up the phone last minute and call me, and I'll be there for them. I gave them my word. That's a handshake. But if you come to me last minute with something as far as an impulse purchase or anything to do on an impulse, it's 100% chance the answer you're going to get is no. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Another person's lack of planning is not an emergency for you.
That's true.
Amen.
That is so.
See, you have to sometimes, and you know, you may have a good heart and you're a Christian and you love the Lord and you'll see somebody on the side of the highway and you see their car steaming and you pull over and you help them with your change their flat tire. They may be pledged to a fraternity or sorority and they got the stickers on the back of these clubs and you do your handshake and you do your sign up and you help them and you move on. Or you may see somebody with the fish on there and you pull over. As much as you can. But now you come to me last minute and I say to you, well, why are we here? Well, I did A, B, C, D, F, G. I'm praying for you. I'm wishing you well, but the answer is no. It's 100% chance you're getting a no out of me. Now, let's look at the situation. Let's say we're doing something. Family member is in a hospital. Or the emergency with someone, Pastor Miles, I need you to come with me. Reverend, need you to call me to come and pray for my mother or my cousin. Or we need to go visit them. Okay, let's go. That's just God's word. But come to me last minute asking me to borrow some money. What would you do with yours? Well, okay, no. Your lack of plan is not an emergency. See, but in the scripture, Esau really did a little lack of planning. Now, I'm going to use my Holy Ghost imagination. This man know he was going out to work and coming back on something to eat. Then he stayed out there a little bit too long to where he got 2 weeks. Now, he's willing to sell something that is already his, blessing for the future, over a pot of stew. So he being a slave to his stomach and a slave to his lack of planning. And guess what? His brother took advantage of it. How many times are people going to take advantage of you for your lack of planning? And for you at that moment, that's an impulse purchase. What would have happened if Christ in Matthew 4 and in Luke 4, what would have happened if Christ would have did an impulse purchase? Where would we be? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Came to him three times. Came to him three times with different levels of the impulse purchase. What would have happened if he'd done that? Where would we be? Matter of fact, let's put us aside. Where would Christ be? Where would his Father be? Where would the Holy Ghost be? Had he made an impulse purchase to the devil? And every time, not every time, well, most of the time, you make an impulse purchase, you just may be selling out to the devil. Mic's open. Any questions, comments, or concerns?
That's a good reason to always be prepared. Know your words. Take in that spiritual food so to give that spiritual strength that you're able to plan and be prepared. You don't know what obstacles are going to come your way, and you have to have the strength and the knowledge to be able to maneuver that situation. Go to the Father and ask for assistance so that you're not taking advantage of. Poor planning will get you nowhere, but in trouble.
Yes, that is true. I hear people say all the time, if you want to see God's sense of humor, you start to make a plan. You start planning, and then you'll see God's sense of humor because he'll change the plan. And I just look at him. I don't say anything. I really and truly do want to say something, but I don't, because when you don't plan, you're actually flying by the seat of your pants. You have to have some sort of direction of where you want to go. Turn to Proverbs. I've said this before. Proverbs 21, verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend to only plentiness. But everyone that is hasty is only in want. Didn't this appear to be the situation with Esau? He didn't plan. And by him not planning, he had something that he can purchase with, which is birthright, which costs way more than a bowl of stew and bread. Many people find themselves in want because of lack of planning. And then there's some people out there that will take advantage of that. Be careful of your impulse purchase. I remember I got a phone call. It was 2 weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago. And it was Brother Moderator. And he asked me to come on today. And I told him, normally I have something prepared, studied up, ready to go. And I always keep a ram in the bush. And I had some things, and the Lord just was not speaking to me. He was just not speaking to me. And I did not know what I was going to bring forth on you today. Did not know. I think soon when I told him that, hung up the telephone, then the Lord spoke to me. then things just started coming in my spirit, and I just kept writing them down. I couldn't write them down as fast as I needed to. And there are many things I believe I missed out on. But the key thing that came across with this is the things I want you to get and bring away from this about impulsive purchasing. The next time you go to a market, supermarket, corner store, Walmart, Target, I want you to walk in there, and I want you to practice this. Practice this in the natural first. Write down all of the things that you're going to need and all of the things that you possibly want. One thing that you want, one thing on the list. Buy what you need, get one thing you want, and get out of there. Because if you can be faithful in the natural with not buying impulse purchases, that will resonate deep in your soul and your spirit, man. And this word of God seeping deep down on the inside of you will say, no, I can't do that. See, I'm making a sacrifice, and the word of God says for me to do this, for me to be obedient. Because if I do make the sacrifice, I'm doing an impulse purchase, then I still have to come back and be obedient later. Or just be obedient and be done with it. Because the next thing's coming. The next thing's coming whether you want it or not. Senior in high school, my computer teacher named Miss Sonic. She says, you have time to do the homework now. Why don't you do your homework so later on you can study something else that I can give you and you'll be ahead of class tomorrow. I did it that time. But some other time came and wouldn't do it. But the next thing just kept coming. She just kept coming with the next thing. Next thing is going to come. Okay, I'll sacrifice now, be obedient later. You're wasting time with your impulsive purchase. Be obedient. Plan. And don't be a slave to your flesh. The mics are open.
And also, you think of the world, you might think of it as you're in Africa in the wilderness, and you know, there's lions out there. But anyway, you don't step outside and go for a stroll without your sword. Mm-hmm. There are beasts out there that could attack you. Just walking, you're just setting yourself up to be prey. Be prepared. Bring your sword with you. Know your environment. Know that Bible. Know your scripture. Know, you know, that's your weapon. Have your armor on. And it may be best not to even go out. That may even be even more simpler. You may get instructions from a God. Just don't go out. But if you do, there is some place you have to go. Be prepared.
Amen. Is there another? As Brother Moderator said, I take it that you're silent because you're eating up the word of God on tonight, which is a good thing. Many, as I said before,
no,
will talk
no
about.
Sir, no,
yes, sir.
I am just listening and giving everyone else, you know, an opportunity, you know, to weigh in and, you know, and share their
mm-hmm.
thoughts on that. Did you want me to? Is that what you're asking? You wanted me to make a comment?
No.
In reference?
No, no, no.
No,
I'm. No, I'm just saying. Normally, when they're silent on the line, you always say that they're eating it up, they're digesting it. You know, they're really
amen,
it
amen,
in.
Amen. Everyone is enjoying the food. Amen.
Yes.
We're sitting at the table.
Amen.
But you also remember, and I know I repeat said this one time, and I'll say it again, that someone's lack of planning. It's not an emergency for you. And also, I want you to think of this. Your lack of, let's flip that, your lack of planning is not an emergency for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you think about it. Let's flip the script here a little bit. Mm-hmm. Esau goes out. We can see that he did not do his due diligence to himself to make sure he had something to eat when he came back. What would it have been for his brother just to give him a bowl of stew?
Yeah.
What would it have been just for his brother to give him a bowl of stew? You know, please give me a bowl of that stew. I'm hungry. Okay, sit down. Have a seat. Let me go to the pot, get the bowl. Here's your spoon. Here's your bread. Have something to eat. But that wasn't his motive. Apparently, he had been plotting for that. Do I see it in scripture from what we read? No. But I can only imagine. So just like someone's lack of plan is not an emergency for you, your lack of plan is not an emergency for them. And there's no need for you to get upset at them because of something you did not do for you.
That's right. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides.
Yeah.
It's a good word, sir.
Yes, thank you.
God bless you.
And see, and one thing that this may be a touch off of the topic, this will be a good time when you have somebody like this, they're hungry and you feed them. That's a good word for you to plant seed in them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
that's good.
It
mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Now, it may not, I'm not talking about they'd be hungry for natural food.
Mm-hmm.
They could be hungry for you just to listen to them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so good.
That's good. That's
just listen to them.
Oh, that's so good. Yes, Lord, I hear you.
Just listen. They could be hungry for you just to listen. Just sit there, listen, and look at them. That's it.
And look at
them.
Mm-mm-mm.
Now, I feel it in my spirit. Somebody said, well, if you do that, isn't that an impulse purchase? To a degree, it is. But what kind of impulse purchase is that? Is that for you, or is that for the kingdom of God?
Kingdom of God.
That's good.
But then again, it's really not an impulse purchase for the kingdom of God. You are being obedient, and you're doing your due diligence by witnessing and ministering.
I love it.
Yes.
So you are obeying.
You know, those are God's words, his commandment to us, is to demonstrate love. And put that, it was more than just words. You have to put it in practical application in your life. So anyway, his brother could have very well, like you said, just realized that's my brother. There's a relationship there. He could have just given it to him out of pure love. He knows that's his brother. But anyway, the person you meet on the street who's in need, whether it be spiritual food or physical food, have a heart. Plan.
Yeah.
Be prepared. To make a difference and to follow God's words, his commandments.
Yes.
Yes. I like how this word, how God's word and the messenger who you are, sir, because you are talking to me. I see myself all up in this. You know, how God is critiquing. He's critiquing us to the very last hair on our head. And I like how you said about the obedience better than the sacrifice. And we shouldn't, you know what, that quick fix, we shouldn't be looking, we should think thoroughly through, what is it going to cost me? What would you rather? I remember hearing T.D. Jakes saying one time, if I'm not mistaken, on his program, he was talking about how he used to smoke and how, and I think this is correct, and how he was battling with it. And his mentor at the time was telling him, well, if this thing is keeping you from, basically I'm paraphrasing, from the greater, what would your choice be? And he laid it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about what you're saying about obedience is better than sacrifice, and I thought about the scripture that says, for much is given, much is required.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God
yeah.
wants to take us all the way.
Yes,
and he wants to critique our lives so we'd be an example and a light of his power and his presence, not just his power, his very presence. So when somebody comes into our presence, they know they came into the presence of the Almighty God.
Amen.
So I like what you said as far as, you know, what would you trade? Basically, I'm paraphrasing again.
Yeah.
What would you trade? What would you trade for that moment, that pleasure, whether it be whatever it is?
Yeah.
When your
yeah.
flesh is trying to dictate.
Yeah.
We'll always be in battle with the flesh and the spirit. But
that's right.
Who are we going to heed to? I'm talking to myself. Lord
yeah.
Jesus is talking to me. And when you said, and I'm going to be done with this, when you said maybe that person wants you to just listen. Lord Jesus, yesterday an elder friend of mine called me from Ohio, and he was sharing with me, and all I was doing was talking, because I've known him a long time, talking to him. He felt like I was talking at him, but I really wasn't. It was a love, but I should have just listened. That's what he said. He said, Edna, next time I call, sis, just listen. And here you came with it. It's just God telling me, shut your mouth. Sometimes we gotta shut up.
That's it. You know, and to the one who's listening, and you said on something that I want also had to touch on about an impulsive purchase.
Yeah, yeah.
There's somebody, I believe that there's someone listening right now
mm-hmm.
that you keep impulse buying regularly, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be.
Mm.
You are impulse purchasing regularly. Well, what do you mean by that, preacher? You know, that same woman you meet every Thursday night after work, that impulse purchase?
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, that same juke spot that has that little certain thing that they do, you impulse mm-hmm. purchasing. But then when you're out, when you come out of it, you feel guilty.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, you do.
You feel guilty after that impulsive purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Because you
for those of you,
go ahead, sir.
For,
I'm sorry.
For those of you who are in that state and you feel guilty afterwards,
mm-hmm.
guess what? You're coming out of it. Why? Because you feel guilty and you're feeling convicted.
Thank you.
Good sign. That's
you're feeling convicted. And that's good. Is it good that you keep impulse buying that same thing? No. But is it good that you feel guilty afterwards? Yes.
Yes.
And then, now that part is good. Now, if you keep doing it and you come back afterwards, and usually like, well, I can't wait till next week or next time. So now you're in that iniquity. Now you're in a bad state.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
That's right.
Yes.
So true.
But for the one who's impulse buying and you feel guilty afterwards,
mm-mm.
Lord's going to deliver you from that. And I claim that in the name of Jesus right now.
Yes.
Well,
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I'm listening.
No, I was thinking about that scripture that says, you know, that what is that scripture? That I would do, but then,
yes,
you know what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
That battle. But you know what? We have victory. Yeah.
Yes.
God has given us the victory.
Yeah.
But back to the original text, had Esau planned for himself.
Mm.
Had he planned for himself, we may not have had this. Now, I want to, as one of my, and I mean this loosely, as one of my old supervisors to say, let me put you up on some game.
Come on here.
Let me put you up on some Bible.
Come
okay.
on. Mm-hmm.
Do you know that this situation here was already ordained to happen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you may say, well,
yeah.
you may say, well, how do you know that, preacher?
Mm-hmm.
Go back to Genesis 25, and at your
mm-hmm.
leisure, I want you to read verses 19
mm-hmm.
to 28.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. See, now I'm not a lady. Wasn't born one. Was born a boy.
Amen.
But see, a mama knows
mm-hmm.
when something wrong with her child or her children.
Oh, yes, 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 she does.
And when Esau and Jacob's mama was pregnant, she could tell something was going on her inside.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And when she turned around and prayed to God, to paraphrase the scripture,
mm-hmm.
God told her, the younger, the older is going to serve the younger.
Wow.
She said it. So now we see what was the incident that happened for that to happen. Now, you ever notice, had it not been ordained on this, we'll be saying, when we pray, and you'll find in the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But we don't say that, do we?
No.
We say to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and
Jacob.
This is why.
Mm-hmm.
This is why. So whenever you hear preachers pray, even myself, when you hear to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, now
mm-hmm.
you know why.
Mm-mm-mm. The master
so go
plan.
Back. So go
master
back.
Plan.
Read Genesis 25 and start at verse 19. And I challenge all of you to go all the way to the end of the chapter. And I also challenge you to study yourself approved unto God.
All right.
Do what they did in Berea. They went back in the scriptures and studied to see if what the preacher said was thus and so, because they had a readiness of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take what I'm saying and say, that's what Pastor Miles out of New Milford, New Jersey said, and this is what it. No, get back in that scripture. Get that in your spirit. So when someone turns around and says something different, you know for yourself. Because there have been many of people who have preached, theology of man, but not theology of the Bible.
Right.
Is there any other more questions or concerns before I turn it over to Brother Moderator?
Thank you for the word.
Yes.
It's powerful.
Bless your heart. Bless your
mm-hmm.
heart. We give it back to the one who which gave it, because as I said before, I didn't know what in the world I was going to bring to you today.
Mm-hmm.
And this was 2 weeks ago. My mind just went blank.
Well, personally, I know it was for me. Yes, Lord, I hear you, Holy Spirit. Speak, Lord, speak.
And I want to give up, now think about it, one of the young men I used to teach Sunday school back when I came out the military in the early to mid-90s. He's about 32 years old. He got called to pastor a church, and he's out of Wildwood, New Jersey. It's Jonathan B. Whitfield III. If you're on, young man, God bless you. I will come to see you shortly, as I told you a couple of days ago. Make heaven smile upon you. Remember, feed your sheep. Plant the seed. It'll be watered, and God will give the increase. Brother Moderator, it's in your hands. God bless.
Pastor Miles, I'd like to thank you for stepping in. And as you said, having a ram in the bush, I do thank you for that. I do thank you for that. I thank you for allowing the Spirit to lead you as you fed us around the table. We thank you for that. And also I'd like to thank each and every one of you who are on the line for being so supportive. I do want to thank you. Please know that I do recognize what you do and your faithfulness for coming on Blog Radio. I do thank you from the bottom of my heart. As we go to the closing, I wanted to make a couple of comments on an analysis, and I know that that the pastor was, since he was in Proverbs, I would like to continue in closing in Proverbs. And Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Number one. Number two, many of the plans are in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And number three in Proverbs, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And in that, in closing, of knowing that whatever that we do, as long as we are doing it for the kingdom of God,
yes,
we're going to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Me, myself, Pastor, I'm going to be transparent. I'm going to be like Pastor Robinson, being transparent. I run late all the time. And sometimes my decisions are not timely, but I have to rely on God to get me through, because sometimes I just don't know.
Yes.
Sometimes I just don't know. So I can rely on the scripture, and it says, stand still, be still, stand still, and know that I am God. And every time that I have leaned on that scripture, God has got me through. So for those of you who are listening, if you have an impulsive purchase, if you are impulsive, I say to you that the Word of God, the Word of God is our lifeline. If you want to know what direction to go, rely on the Word of God, because we're always going to be a flesh, and there's always going to be the Spirit. The flesh is what we do in the world. The Spirit is how God sees us. And as long as we are directed and guided through trying not to have an impulsive purchase, relying on the Holy Spirit. See, God, because God looks at our heart. What we may do in the flesh may not be appropriate to the eyes of man, but when God looks at our heart, he knows that our heart is sincere, and and we're trying to be as pure as we can, God will acknowledge that. God will. I stand on that fully, because that is the way I've lived my life. That is the way I have been criticized, but you know what? God is always on time. He is always on time. And, you know, as the old song is saying, he's an on-time God. I know what that means, because he rescues me when I cannot rescue myself.
Amen.
So I do thank you. I do thank you. I do thank you from the bottom of my heart. We are living a life as servants, as members of slaves, and we are resulting on sanctification. God is constantly allowing us to die, the flesh
yes,
to die, so that we can become more like him. So you are on time with your word. I thank God, Pastor, that you took time and allowed the Holy Spirit to direct your path. I thank you for that. I thank you for being a man of God who is sincere about the Lord. So until the next time we meet, we do thank you once again for tuning in. Keep in mind, we're back next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Remember, we love you, but God loves you. God bless you.
God bless you. So hard to understand.
I can be